Back to the 6 p.m. service at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Those of you that are visiting with us, you are honored guests. And at the appropriate time when our elders come up, they'll recognize you to let you know how much we appreciate you being here. You know, I kind of know what Agrippa felt like when he said to Paul, "Thou almost persuaded me." I heard that singing, and I almost convinced myself to almost lead a song. But I knew better. So I said, let me not do that because I don't want everybody to leave. Tonight we're going to come from the book of Colossians. Now, Brother Gary's lesson this morning was real timely about Job. And sometimes when we go through some things, we need to turn to some scripture to find some hope. Amen. You got to look for some positive things. It becomes a mindset where you've got to know where to go, where you can get some energy, some build up, because this life can eat you up. And most of the time, if we're honest, it's because something that we've done to ourselves. Amen. But we're going to look tonight at Apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to focus on verses 12 to 14. And Paul says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And if I was to put a title on it, I'd put "Giving Thanks Unto the Father." And the word is pronounced euisteo, and it has this idea of being grateful or expressing gratitude. And Paul's talking to this, I'll give you a little backdrop. Paul's talking to a young church. The city of the Colossian church of Chloas was a big city at the time. But now when he's talking to them here, they're not as big. Laodicea has gotten bigger. They're a smaller city than they once were. But they're real young. The church is real young. And Paul takes this time to write a letter to a church that he's never seen. He's never seen these people. And in the beginning of it, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ." He's trying to put his authority on this letter that he's writing that he might give them some comfort, that they might understand, because they're going through at this time. This church is young, and when you come out of Judaism, they're either dealing with these teachings of Judaism or Gnosticism's coming in, we're not sure, but this false teaching is starting to creep already into the church. And Paul is writing them this letter. And it's in back in verse number 9, we can go back to verse number 7, he says, "Epaphras, who has been a minister to them, writes and tells Paul how faithful these saints are." And Paul, through this book, continues to give thanks. You know, giving thanks to Paul was very important. Paul, in his epistles, Paul uses the concept over 40 times in his epistles. 7 times in the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, verse number 2, verse number 3, verse number 12, chapter 2, verse number 7, chapter 3, verse number 15, verse number 17, chapter 4, verse number 2. So that's an encouragement. He's trying to give them the thankfulness. When he heard about their faith from Epaphras, he thanked God. And we have some leaders like that around here. It's nice to have some praying leadership that prays for us. They may not necessarily know everything we're going through, but Paul is praying for them that God be with them. Now, in the first few verses like 9 through 12, he's praying that they get the wisdom and the knowledge of God, that they might live and walk this life. And Paul starts this prayer. Look, I'm praying to God that he open you up, he bless you with wisdom, he bless you with knowledge in order that you might be able to live this life. And now we get to verse number 12, and he says, look, "Giving thanks unto the Father is one of the reasons he gives thanks. We need to be joyful. We need to be happy, which made us meet," or qualified us in the King James, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the sinners." Now, I'm going to make 4 points, and this lesson will be yours. And I'm trying to watch the clock. So I'm going to make my 4 points, and I'm going to sit down. The first point is to be qualified. For us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light through Jesus Christ. All these blessings come through Jesus Christ. That we've been delivered. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That he's conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love, or translated, or bore. And that we've been redeemed. He's redeemed us through the forgiveness of sins. Now, as we said in verse number 12, "Thanks be to God unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light." And you ask yourself, Brother Murphy, how to get qualified? That's a good question. How do we qualify ourselves? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. I'll give you a chance to get that. Peter writes, since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, Peter says, look, for us to be purified our souls and to get this inheritance, we need to obey the truth. Now, I'm going to say how we need to obey the truth when we get to the end of the lesson. But we all had to do the same thing. We had to obey the gospel in order that we might receive this inheritance that Jesus is talking about. Okay, he also says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4. He's going to tell us where this inheritance is. He says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection. That's how Jesus qualified us. That portion of qualification doesn't need to happen again. Amen. Jesus resurrected from the dead. That alone we need to be thankful. Amen. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't need to be here. Yes, sir. And he's reminding him, he's praying for him that, look, you need to be thankful that God sent Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead for you, for me. And that's what he's telling them here, that, hey, you need to obey the gospel in order that you might receive this inheritance. And Peter, after the same time, goes back on later on, verses 23, to say, look, you need to continue to be faithful. It isn't just obeying them and getting in that water. It's a lifestyle of being faithful until we get called on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's how we get qualified. That's how we get meet. How do we get delivered? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, back in the end of verse number 12, he makes this comparison about the inheritance, and he starts to make this analogy between 12 and 13 of light and darkness. And Paul makes sure that they understand, look, one has nothing to do with the other. He makes this comparison of good and evil. We make a decision that we want to follow darkness. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. Paul's going to let us know, look, when we make a decision to get into darkness, it's something we've done. We can't blame anybody else. We can't blame God. It's a decision that we made in order that we got to where we were. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, Paul's telling the church of Ephesians, we can't walk like those in darkness. We need to walk differently. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding. Now, he's saying those that are out there, the Gentiles, they having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of what? The ignorance that is in them. Amen. And most people that are out in the world living for the devil are ignorant, lack of knowledge of what's in here. We always look at ignorance as a bad word, but they're ignorant. They don't know. And they're living in darkness. And that's how those Gentiles were living. And Paul's telling them, don't be like that. He said, being alienated from the life, verse 18 of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to the lewdness and to all the work of uncleanliness and greediness. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. And I bet you if we went around here and we started each and every person, and we asked you about your life before you came to Jesus Christ, you could probably have a story to tell. And we need to leave that back there, all of us. And that's what Paul is telling. Look, put that former self behind you. Walk in the light. Don't continue back in that darkness. where sin is, where Satan is. Where Satan is trying to get us to go all the time, whether it be at school every day, work every day, home every day. Constantly trying to get us on his team. Constantly. Verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we'd be thankful. Again, when you're going through some things, find some things you be thankful for. I've been qualified. I've been delivered. I've got righteousness. Why? Because Jesus has been good to me. And he helped get you out of these things. We're going to go through some stuff. Life can get hard. But we need to focus and trust. We can't, I think Brother Gad called this morning, pity parties. We can't sit here and feel sorry for ourselves all the time. You know, we go through some things, and I'll be honest, my prayers all the time, Lord, I know scripturally we need to be spanked, but please don't spank me too hard. I don't like to be spanked. But I know I need to be spanked to be one of his. But I don't like to be spanked too hard. I got spanked, I got plenty of those when I was young. I don't need no more. Don't need any more. So he tells him about this. This concept of not walking in darkness. What do people see when you walk in the room? Now, everybody in here, you faithful, they probably see a bunch of light. But think about sometimes when we got things going on in our mind, we let things bother us and we take it into our job, and our people see our body language. Or we take it to school. Or we take it to a restaurant and we take it out on a waiter or a waitress. What are they seeing? Are they seeing the light? Sometimes we don't get served properly. We get a little attitude. Not me. Some other people do. What do they see? Did they see a light then, or are we just like everybody else? Levi, if we're honest, we all might need to. We need to stay in that light. We continue to read and to study and to apply and to walk step by step by step. Now, most of us watch when we have these little kids. And I'd love to watch them when they first try and start to walk. And they struggle. They don't give up. They fall down when they try to get right back up again. They keep trying. They keep trying until they get it. And sometimes we're going to make mistakes. We need to ask forgiveness, pick ourselves up, and keep going. Keep walking in that light that people might see a difference. You make a mistake to somebody on your job, go tell them you're sorry. They'll think you're weird. I've done it. Hey, I'm trying to stay right with God. I did you wrong. Please forgive me. What you doing that for? You've done a teaching moment at that time that you're human. You made a mistake that's not acceptable to God. And we've been delivered from that. His third point that he mentions to him in this prayer was that we've been conveyed, or we've been translated. Verse 13 says, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This idea of translated or conveyed is to be brought into. When we get into that water and we get added to the church of Christ, we have been translated, brought out of the world into a place of light. Yes, sir. We ought to be thankful for that. Amen. I know Brother Gad said it before, but I when I used to baptize people, I'll be honest, some of you can attest to it, I would tell them, and, you know, and I wait till after they get baptized, I'm telling them before. You know, the best time for you to die was? Think about it. No, not a baby. When you come up out that water. Because when you come up out that water, you're free of sin. So when's the best time to die? But I tell them, now, since you didn't die, you just like the rest of us. You got to live faithful unto death. But seriously, that is, other than being a child and underage, that is the best time for the Lord to take you. You white as snow. You sin from the time you get out that water till you get changed. You might need to go back under there. You might. I didn't say you had to. I said you might. We need to be conveyed. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. We are rescued from this kingdom of darkness when we translated and brought into the church. Amen. We are brought out of darkness, not to live that way anymore. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8 says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Again, be thankful we're not still walking in darkness. Be thankful. I'm going to say this. Because it stay on your heart. When you lose somebody, Hear me now. In I'm going to say my mind. I know they're not right with the Lord. Yeah, that's a burden. That's a burden. I'm going to be honest with you. When I lost my mom didn't obey the gospel. That still bothered me. She's been dead almost a month now. But it's still, I told my boys at the funeral when daddy cried, it was more for the fact that she didn't obey the gospel than what happened. Because we all going to go that road. Yes, we all going to go that road. Amen. But if you're going to go that road, go where you can be thankful. Go where you can have some reward for living in this life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Continuing in this light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. For we are not of the night, nor of darkness. He keep making these comparisons all along. This is Apostle Peter. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. Good and evil. You can't serve both. It's one or the other. And it's a continued daily struggle to walk in the light. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be telling yourself, I'm thankful to God. Because remember in verse number 12, he talked about that inheritance. That inheritance was for who? The saints. That's not for everybody. When you came up out of that water and were added to the church, we became saints. Amen. Eligible if we stay faithful for that inheritance that he's talking about in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation. He's talking about us. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Those are some nice adjectives, ain't they? We don't want to get high-minded, but those are some good adjectives. Better than someone calling you low-down, loser. Let me look at myself. Low-down, loser, sorry. Huh? Them some adjectives people use. You sorry. Thank you. I'm peculiar. Well, that's the wrong word for me. But we hear that you should show forth, verse number 9, the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into that marvelous light. Marvelous light. Are we thankful for being called into this marvelous light? It's a wonderful place. Wonderful place. You get happy reading this stuff. That if I just hold on, this is for me. Somebody loves me. Somebody cares for me. That's some wonderful stuff to know. And we all the same. God loves us all the same. He loved me, he loved you. He wants you to have this prize. He wants you to have this inheritance. But he also expects some things, just like parents. We don't give our children everything anytime they ask for it. We're trying to teach them how to survive in this life. God is allowing us to go through some things so we appreciate what we have in Christ Jesus. That's going to happen in this life. But we need to be thankful. He's reminding this young church, again, praying for their wisdom, praying for their knowledge, giving thanks to God that he's given them these things, that when they get tested by this foreign gospel, they know what to hold on to. Verb number 4, they've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Providing the forgiveness of sin. We all have been forgiven of sin that have obeyed the gospel. It has this idea of being redeemed, a released effect for payment of ransom. And go back to that resurrection. The reason that ransom was paid is because Jesus died for us. That on that cross, he took away our sins. And because of our obedience, all we did was obey. Jesus and God did everything else. He sent his son. He was crucified, died, and was buried. But we didn't leave him there. On the third day, he resurrected from the dead. That's some good stuff to be thankful for. Because of that resurrection, we have been redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Reminded teaches that it's so important to remember the redemption price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In verse number 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. He's even going to mention some. And not just young people, but we got to be careful. Amen. Running after silver, amen, gold, amen, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Amen. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. That's the price that was paid, amen, that we were redeemed for in order that we might receive the inheritance for the saints. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 7, of Jesus, chapter 1, verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Amen. The forgiveness of sins, amen, according to the riches of his grace. And finally, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Just a reminder to make sure we all on the same playing field out here. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, though, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we gave you 4 points tonight that we qualified, delivered, transferred, and redeemed. And Paul gave that message to the church in Colossians. If you're here tonight and you want to be qualified, I know I told you when to qualify, there are certain things you need to do. If you're not a member of the church, you need to be qualified. How do I qualify myself, Brother Murphy? That's a good question. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, we need to hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to believe. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We need to repent. Luke 13 and 3. I tell you nay. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You need to come down here and confess to this audience that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, whoever confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Next verse, whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. A lot of places will stop you there, but you hear that running water behind me? Pump keep going off? It's there for a reason. Because once you do that, you need to be baptized immediately. In water for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you're here tonight and your life's not what it should be, Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray ye one for another. Amen. So if you fall subject to the invitation, you come now as we together stand and sing. Thank you.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas